In this episode of In Your Words, the St. Louis Artworks apprentices, Ziggy, Sebastian, and Teddy, talk with the poet and educator, Chen Chen. Chen Chen is an author of two books of poetry, Your Emergency Contact Has Experienced an Emergency, and When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a List of Further Possibilities, published by BOA Editions and Blood X Books in the UK. His latest chapbook is Explodingly Yours, published by Ghost City Press in 2023. His honors include the Tom Gunn Award, two Pushcart Prizes, the National Book Award Longlist, and fellowships from the National Endowment for the Arts and the United States Artists. His work appears in many publications, including three editions of The Best American Poetry and two editions of the Forward Book of Poetry. He teaches for the Low Residency MFA programs at New England College, Stone Coast, and Antioch. He edits the online poetry journals Underblong and The Lickety Split. He lives in Rochester, New York, with his partner, Jeff Gilbert, and their pug, Mr. Rupert Giles.
My name is Sebastian. My pronouns are he, him.
My name is Teddy. My pronouns are he, they.
And my name is Ziggy. My pronouns are he, him.
Great. Nice to meet you all again. I'm Chen Chen. My pronouns are he, him.
We're writing a zine. It's about things like our identity, social movements, things we feel strong or passionate about.
Great. Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful project.
It totally is. It totally is.
Yeah, it is.
So should I read the poem you discussed?
That would be wonderful.
Okay. Let me pull it up and then we can talk about it. I invite my parents to a dinner party. In the invitation, I tell them for the 17th time, the fourth in writing, that I am gay. In the invitation, I include a picture of my boyfriend and write, "You've met him two times, but this time you'll ask him things other than, can you pass the whatever? You'll ask him about him. You will enjoy dinner. You will be enjoyable. Please RSVP." They RSVP. They come. They sit at the table and ask my boyfriend, the first of the conversation starters I slip them upon arrival, "How is work going?" I'm like the kid in Home Alone, orchestrating every movement of a proper family, as if a pair of scary yet deeply incompetent burglars is watching from the outside. My boyfriend responds in his chipper way. I pass my father a bowl of fishball soup. So comforting, isn't it? My mother smiles her best, sitting with her son's boyfriend, who is a boy, smile. I smile my hooray for doing a little better smile. Everyone eats soup. Then my mother turns to me, whispers in Mandarin, "Is he coming with you for Thanksgiving? My good friend is," and she went like this. I'm like the kid in Home Alone, pulling on the string that makes my cardboard mother more motherly, except she is not cardboard. She is already exceedingly my mother, waiting for my answer. While my father opens up a Boston Globe, when the invitation clearly stated, "No security blankets." I'm like the kid in Home Alone, except the home is my apartment, and I'm much older, and not alone, and not the one who needs to learn has to. "Remind me what's in that recipe again," my boyfriend says to my mother, as though they have always easily talked, as though no one has told him many times what a nonlinear slapstick meets slasher flick meets psychological pit he is now co-starring in. "Remind me," he says, to our family. So yeah, I think if there was a question about this poem, happy to talk about it.
So my first question, I was told this was presented to you already, but when we first read the story, my first question was, is this a true story? Is this a true event?
It's definitely autobiographical. It's definitely based on true events and actual conversations, but it's also kind of a mishmash of different moments. So it's not all, you know, it didn't all happen in this one way as like one dinner. So it really came about, the poem came about after I was talking with a friend, another writer, Muriel Young, really wonderful poet, and she has a novel coming out later this year too. So yeah, I was talking with my friend Muriel about this other poem, that's also in my second book, I hadn't been in regular communication with my family, in particular my parents, for a while because I was processing a lot of anger towards them for their homophobia over the years. And I just needed that distance from them. And geographically, there was plenty of space because I was in West Texas and they were in the Boston area. And, you know, there were moments where I found myself missing them too. And so I was working on this other poem in which I imagined my parents making dinner for my two younger brothers who are home from college, and just kind of putting that whole scene together and thinking about what it was that I really missed about being at home in that way and, you know, eating my parents' food and interacting with my brothers. So I was writing that poem and I showed a draft of it to Muriel, and she gave some really good feedback on it, but she also just asked this really great question out of kind of observing things in my work. And we've known each other for a while now, and so she was familiar with a lot of my work. So she asked, you know, what would happen if you reversed this scenario? What would happen if, you know, your parents had to come to you and visit you at your place and kind of meet you on your own terms? And I just thought that was such a brilliant question because I hadn't thought about it in that way before. I was kind of surprised by it, but of course it made complete sense, you know, both in writing and in life, where I was kind of used to always being the one to have to reach out to them and try to educate them, you know, on LGBTQ issues. And I was really tired of it, frankly. You know, I was already in my late 20s at that point, and I felt like it was kind of absurd to have to always be the one educating and kind of offering an olive branch, as though I always had to be the peacemaker in our conflicts and always have to be the one to push as well for things to progress. And I was just tired of waiting also for things to get better. So all of those emotions really came to the surface when reflecting on my friend's question. And then I started to think of this poem, I Invite My Parents to a Dinner Party. And yeah, just what would happen. So it started from like an imagined place, and then more kind of actual life details came into it as my relationship with my parents did shift. But there were still, you know, these moments, like the moment where my mother turns to me in the poem and asks in Mandarin about whether my partner is going to come for Thanksgiving, and the kind of social situation that she's not able to navigate in that case, but why the kind of burden of that still falls on me. So yeah, the poem it's a collage of a bunch of different real moments, but also this kind of but it's an imagination that's rooted in very real emotions and very real experiences of having to negotiate this familial situation. Yeah, so I hope that answers the question, maybe more than you needed it to, but that's how the poem came about.
Yeah, that's great. I could definitely feel the emotions in the writing. I guess that's why it also kind of really stuck with me. I'm not the most big into poetry, but you know, when I think of poetry, I think of something like bland and boring in writing. But this one, to me, really stuck out. And I think also it being kind of like a mix of not completely made up, but also not completely real, also greatly helped the writing and the feeling. And there's just a lot to say about this. And I love it. It's great, in my opinion. I greatly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like in poetry, because it's not fiction or nonfiction, I mean, I feel a lot of creative license to write about actual experiences, but in a way that helps me get closer to the heart of the matter, to emotional truth. So yeah, I don't feel like I have to depict everything exactly as it happened or in the order that it happened, but I want to get somewhere real. Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted to say that I agree with the sort of autobiographical and also sort of exaggerated nature sort of really helped the writing. I guess if I may talk about my project, it's sort of in a similar vein where it's sort of based off my own like experiences and feelings, but also sort of a collage of others like me. And well, for the theme of my zine, I chose to write about aromanticism and asexuality and sort of what it's like being that way. One thing is sort of the pressure that a lot of aromantic and asexual people to feel attracted to somebody around there, that sort of starts around the teenage age when a lot of people start developing romances and getting into relationships. And so one of the lines at the near the beginning is, I don't feel attracted to anybody. What's wrong with me? Sort of the anxiety and pressure that can come from that. Yeah, so that's a line near the beginning. But near the end, the main character is sort of having a monologue. It's sort of incomplete right now. It's sort of in the draft phase. But what I have is basically maybe friendship was the love I've been seeking all along. Though maybe it is childish. Maybe I am just commitment phobic. But right now, I feel it. The true love I've sought among my friends. And that feeling is real. And it is really mine.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. It's really wonderful and, yeah, vulnerable to be so direct and honest about your own experiences. So yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, I really appreciate being able to, yeah, share like this. Thank you.
Sebastian and Ziggy have some lines that they would like to share as well.
So for me, the thing for mine was basically like freedom and just finding to express yourself how you want to, because I didn't really think of a topic until late. So my poetry style is more freestyling, but never having a serious topic to talk about, leaving it up to anyone's interpretation. The poem's called Souls, and it goes, lost souls don't get found, but their feelings to you, they will come. How they affect you will depend on time. You might spread their ashes for them around the planet, through the wind or through rhymes, or leave them buried in ice as a message to read between the lines.
Could you say the last two lines again?
Around the planet, through the wind or through rhymes, or leave them buried in ice as a message to read between the lines.
Hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I like the rhyme in that. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that.
Guess I'm last. Oh God. Speaking of, my poem in quotation marks is about God. And this has stemmed from kind of how I am currently now even just kind of experiencing somewhat of a spiritual journey that there are times where I was raised in a Christian household, but there was a time in my life where I just like completely denounced it. There's a one time I was actually interested in maybe becoming like exploring the Islamic faith. So because of how I've been going through it spiritually, I guess, I've kind of built up my own kind of interpretation, which is to leave the concept of God vague and big. I started with, what is God? Is there only one, or is there a ton? What does it represent and how does it deal with death? Is there judgment or is there a cycle? Does it have the power to cure the deaf? Is it a idol or is it one of us meditating for 40 days and 40 nights? Or is it a system that created life?
Yeah, I really appreciate all of the questioning that's in that. Yeah, I feel like poetry or maybe all kinds of writing really ultimately come out of, right, the questions that you have and become obsessed with and don't necessarily find answers or, you know, clear answers to, but the point is to keep asking. Makes me think of, I mean, one of my favorite contemporary writers, she passed not super long ago, but the poet Lucille Clifton, who said, "You come to poetry not out of what you know, but out of what you wonder." Yeah, just really appreciate the wondering in that piece, but in each of your writings. So again, thank you for sharing all of that. Yeah, it's really cool to get a snippet, a sense of what you've all been working on and your dedication to it, the writing and putting zine together. And I think that's really, really beautiful work to be doing. So
thank you for joining us.
Like they said, thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm sure as a writer, poet, you know, time is really something you could use, especially also as an adult. And just from the little things you've given about your life, I'm sure time is another very valuable thing you have. And so thank you for choosing to spend that time with us.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, this was a lovely way to spend the time.
This podcast series and programming by Your Words STL was made possible through grants from the National Endowment of the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. The music was made by the local St. Louis musician, Joey Ferber.